featuring music from a great CD from the Old Town School of Folk Music. It's called the Old Town School of Folk Music, Volume 1. If you pick up the Tribune, and as I'm assuming many of you must still, you will find a story by me in the Arts and Entertainment section, my Sidewalks column, about a man named Richard Lindbergh, who has written a remarkable book, his latest, 16 books and counting. It is with great joy that I've known Richard over the years, and a special joy that you're in here this morning, Richard. Hi.
Good morning, Rick. Nice to be here.
Whiskey Breakfast is a book more than two decades in the making. It was a difficult book for you to write. It is about my Swedish family, my American life. Your Swedish family was not the happiest family in the world.
No,
to put it mildly.
It was. It had all the makings of a great soap opera, I think. and it's all true.
Or a great Eugene O'Neill play in some method. Yeah. What was the catalyst for you doing this? I mean, you. Everybody has a family. The catalyst for doing a memoir, what was it in this case, Richard?
Well, it was the death of my father, and it was the accumulated rage and anger I was feeling as I was approaching my 40th birthday, years of suppressing and trying to live what I thought to be a normal American life growing up, and the anger I had felt about different things in my life, my alcoholic father, the divorce, being persecuted in grammar school. These things I just had buried and suppressed. But I think that by midlife, we often have a catharsis about our early years. And after my father died in 1986, I thought seriously about writing about this enigmatic man who had come to Chicago with some terrible secrets. He had abandoned two young children who both died before they were at the age of five. He cloaked that in an egalitarian cause that he had opposed the Swedish military draft. He was opposed to monarchists. He was a socialist at heart. But the real reason he fled Sweden was because he was fleeing two women who were looking to him to meet his obligations.
That is such a dark, secret to carry, and I think You have certainly come to terms with that, but it was not easy to come to terms with,
no, it
with
wasn't.
Understanding. You know, knowing that did not completely explain your dad to you, did it?
No, it didn't. On the one hand, he was a very successful and prosperous building contractor in the North Shore of Chicago. On the other hand, he was a political radical, a product of what I call the old left, was at the forefront in Sweden with trade unionists looking to install Hjalmar Branting, who I call the Swedish Lenin, into a socialist government which would supersede the monarchy. And all of that spoke to a great noble cause. But the great noble cause, as I probed further, really cloaked just the other side of the political far left, and that is an excuse to drink, an excuse to
rant
and conduct illicit things with women. I mean, so was he really a committed idealist, or was he just a hellraiser?
A hedonist, yeah.
A hedonist.
Yeah.
And so I began to question all of that. And I didn't think, I mean, I was an obscure writer at the time. I had a few clips to my name with the old Lerner newspaper chain.
Sure.
I'd written a few books, but I thought, can I write a memoir? Do I deserve to write a memoir? Am I that well known that I can actually do this? And I had a lot of self-doubt about it.
Sure.
And then I began telling different people about it. And at the time, I was working for a publisher up in the North Shore, and Bill Young, who's active in the book business, I told him the entire story. He said, Rich, this is a fabulous story. You ought to think about doing a book. And I said, really? Do you think that I could get a publisher for this? And he said, yeah, you know, it might take a while, but little did I know it would take almost 20 years.
Well, you had to work through a lot of things, and you're very forthright. I mean, you have written an amazingly honest book here in Whiskey Breakfast with what I consider one of the most haunting, chilling titles of any book. You know, it sounds cute, Whiskey Breakfast, and then you start to think, what does that mean?
Yeah.
What does that mean? It took you years of therapy to be able to do this. It took you an immense amount of research, because the book also is this fascinating history of Swedish Americans.
It's a sprawling history that really goes back to the plains, the western plains of the 1880s.
Yeah.
My grandfather, just one generation removed, to give you an idea, Rick, my father was born in 1897. He was 56 when I was born.
Know.
And his father was an Indian scout in the Dakotas working for the Hudson Bay Company and for the U.S. government. He traversed Fort Buford of North Dakota all the way down to Sioux Falls.
Wow.
And this was during the Sioux Uprising.
Sure.
And then he went back to Sweden during what they call the Great Dakota Bust, which was a horrible, horrific crop failure in 1890 in the Dakotas. People were starving. So he moved his wife and his first child to Sweden, and my father was born 7 years later.
It is an amazing, sprawling story. And you said, you had told me when I did the interview that appears, and after this you can go to your Chicago Tribune and see what Richard looks like as sitting in a restaurant in Norwood Park. And get some other stuff about his career. Let's take a commercial break, and we'll come back and talk. Richard is also, he's been on the show a number of times. He is, without argument, to my mind, the leading expert on crime in the city of Chicago, which is saying something. And you can read, I may make him tell the anecdote about how he got first tasted of the netherworld. It happened on State Street at the old Roosevelt Theater in 1967. We'll be right back with Richard Lindberg. The book is Whiskey Breakfast, My Swedish Family, My American Life, but it is so much more. We'll be right back. We were just talking about Indian scouts, and that seems sort of appropriate. My guest for a few more minutes is Richard Lindberg, the author of now 16 books and counting. The latest, it may not be his best. It is certainly the most important because it's hard to gauge with all the stuff you've done. Some of your White Sox books I love. Your book about Chicago quotes I love. But this one is, I hazard to say, the most important book. It is about his life, his Swedish family, which is something out of, in many ways, like Eugene O'Neill or Chekhov or something. The title tells you a great, great deal. And also about his coping with this and about the Swedish-American experience. It covers more than three generations, and it's a remarkable, remarkable book. The reception, as you told me, has been great. That the people who have read it love it. The people who have not read it are some of your relatives who are, I don't know, afraid or...
Well, I've got a brother in California who is really the central character
in this,
and I think he might be a little apprehensive. As a rule, he doesn't read books, period, but I thought that because he happened to mention that, he might want to look at it. So it just reflects, he and I reflect the duality of the family. He was kind of a 1950s troublemaker, and mm-hmm. he grew up, and he's successful now, but I always was with books and reading, and he was...
Which made it hard for you. Some of the stuff about grammar, your grammar school life is really, is I'm going to say it's heartbreaking.
Well, you know, I was a product of a divorced family, and I grew up in Norwood Park, and I went to Onahan School, and it was really 8 years of ceaseless torment. You know, they give you, they hang a nickname on you. You find that
that's a horrible story. First grade teacher.
You find, yeah, you know, a thoughtless remark by a teacher sparked 8 years of living hell.
Oh.
And you know, you're isolated, and you don't have a whole lot of friends. So what do? You retreat into a world of books and authors and old movies. And this is essentially what I did. It kind of fired my desire to write and my love of history, because the past was bleak, but the present was bleak, but the past was interesting. You know.
Well, as I said, Richard saw St. Valentine's Day Massacre in 1967 at the old Roosevelt Theater. He went to a restaurant next door and saw a replica of a Thompson machine gun, decided to get on a bus and go up to Clark Street to see the site of the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. And in many ways, the great serendipity of that, had that been a year later, there's no building there.
I saw that building a month before it was torn down, and I remember there were some loose bricks on the sidewalk, and I picked one up and I took it with me, even though I wasn't sure whether it was connected to the building or not.
Doesn't matter.
I remember pressing my face in that little glass panel window, looking to see, and just, you know, seeing Jason Robards, who played Al Capone, and George Segal, and all these actors, and those replica Thompson machine guns. It was in a restaurant right next door, and I thought, did this really go on in Chicago?
Yeah.
And it really kind of carved out in my mind Chicago's infamous notoriety. And over the years, I just read and read voraciously. Remember, there's a book many years ago, Rick, I don't know if you remember, it was called The Chicago Crime Book by Albert Halpern.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, Yeah, and it was an anthology. Buddy McHugh, a great reporter, he wrote about the case of the Ragged Stranger and all these famous Chicago murders and organized crime. There's a case, Roger Toohey. And I would sit on my back porch and I would read this about this amazing city I live in.
Yeah.
And I did a high school term paper on Capone. And that kind of sparked
He did yesterday a tour for the Chicago History Museum. You can get all the information. You can get it all at richardlindbergh.net, correct?
Right.
richardlindbergh.net. He's got two coming up, the next two Saturdays. What are those, Richard?
Well, the Chicago History Museum is doing a month-long series on crime in Chicago. They're having symposiums.
Only a month? Wednesday. Yeah, it could be an absolute year. You could do this every Saturday.
For the last 5 years, I've done one tour a year on organized crime and on Chicago homicides and whatnot. And this year, I'm doing three. I'm doing the North Side this coming Saturday, and the week after, I'm doing the South Side, focusing on famous homicides. You talked about the Speck case earlier. Yeah. We're going to go down to Jeffrey Manor and see that location. So it blends organized crime with famous and forgotten crimes of infamy. I mean, I've been cataloging crimes that are completely lost to history,
sure,
but are still so unique today.
You know, one that is, and we both know it well, the Schuessler killing, which changed. We were kids when that happened, and it changed the way every parent in Chicago behaved.
Right.
You locked your doors after that.
And that was, you know, and that happened in my neighborhood.
I know.
On the far northwest side. It happened just a little bit south in Jefferson, Mayfair. And, you know, as you say, Rick, when we were kids, our parents used to say, well, you know, they used to use this metaphoric terminology. Now, don't get into cars with strangers.
Right.
Or you might end up like the Schuessler-Peterson
Absolutely.
Boys.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Grim warning, you know, to us baby boomers.
Do you have any events coming up for Whiskey Breakfast?
Well, I had a big event last Saturday at the Swedish American Museum. Nothing pending at the moment, but...
Well, you have books available. I think you should. I know those people at the History Museum. Yeah. You guys should allow Richard to have Whiskey Breakfast in that bus or whatever kind of tour vehicle
you
have. Oh, no, I'm not kidding. This is really a remarkable book, and you and I have been talking about it for some years now. And I think you were worried at some point you might not ever be able to pull it off, and you have pulled it off.
I had so many rejections and setbacks and incredible diversions, and I kept postponing it. On my website, I kept saying, coming out next year, and I'd have to change it at the end of the year. Well, maybe next year.
You're like the Cubs in
that exactly.
Way.
I was waiting till next year.
You have a winner here, Richard Lindbergh.
Thank you.
Whiskey Breakfast, My Swedish Family, My American Life is it's beautifully told history. You certainly don't have to be Swedish. A lot of people I know already who have read this are Irish, and it relates across the board to the difficulties of family and making a life for yourself. And, Richard, you've made a spectacular life for yourself from some pretty dark pretty dark circumstances. You've told a really compelling story, and it's an ongoing pleasure to be a pal of yours.
Rick, you are the best. Thank you.
Well, you are, too. You can read about Richard if you did not get enough. If you did not get your fill of this in today's Chicago Tribune in the Arts and Entertainment's Sidewalks section. And, again, these two tours, I know my great friend John Heshen is so eager to meet you. Not even funny. My girlfriend's brother is like you. He was fired in his indie. Not a writer, but he has this incredible interest in this. And when you guys meet, I cannot wait to be a fly on the wall. We'll be right back.